This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswine.
Oh, man. Could the name of my show be any more perfect for today? Hey, everybody. As in real life, things happen and you sort of have to adjust to them. And you sort of have to check yourself about how you are going to react to certain situations. Today, we were supposed to talk to Jocelyn Kessler, The Secret Language of Dogs. And I am sure we will have her back on at another time. We were not able to get a hold of her. And so just as in real life, we're going to bob and weave. We're gonna go tap dance, da-da-da-da-da, which is a little bit of what we're doing right now. But the good news is that I'm not here alone because you're all listening. And I'm actually in the studio. Hi, Chris. Chris, he's looking at me like, please don't. Chris is, you're technically called what? What do you do for me?
I'm the producer here at Empower.
And the engineer.
Yep.
And the organizer.
Right. We wear probably about, like small market radio, about 30 different hats in the studio. So
yeah. So literally when we couldn't get our guest on the line, Chris is thinking, uh-oh, because I warned him. I said, if this happens, I'm going to interview you. We're gonna talk. And he's, I'm not a very good interview. And I'm like, of course you are. Because, you know, Chris, a little bit, because we were going to talk about dogs today. And I want to talk a little bit because you are a cat guy.
I am, big time.
Now, I'm as delicately as I can put this, Chris. Does this help with the ladies or not that you are a cat guy?
You know, honestly, it's a toss up. Some women look at me and they're like, "Really? You like cats instead of dogs?" I mean, only men, you know, like men only like dogs, you know. That's just the stereotype, but I've just always been a cat person. And
what is it about them that you like so much?
Their intelligence. Now, granted,
you mean the fact that they look at you like, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do?
Right, exactly. You know, there are some dogs that you can approach and you can tell, especially like my brother has a Jack Russell Terrier, and they are very, very intelligent. But still, little things like opening the door to get food and things like that are one thing. But when my current cat, which is a Bengal mix, sits down and looks at me like this morning, he gave me a look like, are you going to get me food or are you just going to sit here and do your daily routine without me? And I mean, he stared me down until finally I got up and had to get him food. He would not leave me alone until that point.
Here's another reason why. Now, I'm a dog girl. So it's funny. You're a cat guy. I'm a dog girl. But what's really interesting is that cats know this about me and they take it as a personal challenge that they're going to come over and they're like, lady, you are going to like me by the time you leave here because I'm not. And they do. They sniff me out. And case in point, I have a neighbor cat. His name's Everest. And Everest knew that I was a dog person. He must have, because every time I'm out planting flowers or whatever, here comes Everest. And he will sit down like right in the flower bed where I'm trying to plant flowers. And then I'm like, Everest, really, you're going to have to move. Okay, I'll pet you. Here, I'll rub your belly. Okay, now go away. And then he sits and he would paw at my hand every time I went to scoop or dig. I'm like, I'm not playing.
Right.
I am planting, mister.
Yep.
But there's just something about them. I tend to gravitate towards cats that are like dogs.
Right. Yep.
You know, the kind you can go roughhouse them a little bit, and they have mannerisms that are like a dog.
Yeah. And, you know, that's very similar to, well, ironically, my cat's name is Gideon, named after, ironically, again, the Destroyer. because in the shelter, he ripped apart every toy that he had, and he just caused havoc. So he is very much like a dog.
Yeah.
You know, people come into the house and he's running all around and everything else. So
now, as far as dogs go, I've always been a dog person. I grew up with a golden retriever. And when I moved out on my own, I really I wanted a dog, but I didn't know fully about the commitment. So I decided to raise a puppy for Leader Dogs for the Blind.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I raised a little yellow Labrador named Oscar. And I always knew Oscar was something special. Now, I know right now that I sound like a mom whose kid is the smartest kid in the whole world, but it's true. Because when I got Oscar, it was a little bit like having a newborn because I didn't sleep at night, and we had to take these dogs everywhere because you have to socialize them, right?
Right. Yep.
So he went to the dentist with me. He went on voiceover gigs with me. He went to the theater with me. He went to the comedy show, to restaurants, everywhere. And you have like a little bag with you that's like a mom who takes, you know, the diaper bag
right.
with her.
Yep.
And so there was a lot of really getting to know him that way. And there's something that you do with leader dogs, and you have to crate them at night. That's how they sleep, you know? So I'd tell him, crate up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Goes off to go to sleep. Well, the last two nights he was with me, because he had to go back after a year to continue his training. And the last two nights he was with me, and I said, okay, Oscar, crate up. And he gave me a look like, are you kidding me, lady? You only got me for two more nights. Screw you. And he went upstairs and jumped on my bed. Now he hasn't done that the whole year that I raised him. And that night, the last two nights, he jumped up and slept with me. And of course it brought me to tears because I'm like, you're so smart.
Right.
You know, you're leaving. And so I also, I don't know if cat people are this crazy as well, but I threw him a graduation party. He deserved a graduation party because I knew he was going to graduate top of his class with honors.
Right.
And so I rented a tent and put it in my backyard, and I invited all of his buddies from his class and had like 20 dogs in my backyard and people and tables and food. And just like a good little graduate, my baby Oscar somehow got a hold of some cupcakes. And ate those, which later on produced vomiting in the kitchen.
Right.
Just like a graduate who'd gone on a bender.
Yep.
So I was there cleaning up, and he looked so sad, and I was patting him on the head going, it's okay, buddy.
Right.
You're a graduate, and I know that happens sometimes, and it's okay. And I was really proud of him because then when I took him in, they evaluated him and said, oh, wow, he's fantastic. And something intuitively, because all animals are highly intuitive.
Yeah.
We know how cats will sometimes just stare at the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not stupid. There's probably a spirit there.
Yep.
Right?
There's something.
Yep. I'm not dumb. I'm staring at that wall for a reason, and I'm playing with this thing in the air that when there's nothing there,
mm-hmm.
there's really something there.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
dogs have the same sort of intuition. The story I just told you about Oscar knowing he just intuitively felt something was going on. So I intuitively knew that my dog was going to be placed, I said, with a younger person. He's fast. And I knew Oscar was going out of the country. Right. I don't know why I knew that. I just sort of felt it. And he was placed with a 19-year-old young man from Guatemala who was a Paralympic runner for his country.
Oh, wow.
So all of those things turned out to be true.
Yeah.
And Oscar's first duties were to fly to Greece because that's where the Paralympics were that year.
Oh,
and so he flew to Greece. And this young man, whose name is Brian Solares, he has graduated high school and college and got married and has a child now, all with Oscar leading him. And I just found out that Oscar has been retired. So he's gone. I think he's 11 or 12 now, but they watch, you know, to make sure that they don't get, you know, overdone or anything like that.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, are you getting Oscar back? And I said, oh, I wish. Because puppy raisers do have the first right if the person who has Oscar is not able to take care of them along with his new dog. But, you know, he made a life there, you know.
Yeah.
Oscar's part of the family. He speaks Spanish now. And it was so cute because when I met Brian, we had an interpreter, and I beforehand told Brian some of the funny nicknames that I called Oscar. Like I called him Velveteen Rabbit Ears because he had the softest kind of rabbit ears. And there was nothing cuter than Brian trying to say Velveteen Rabbit Ears with a Spanish accent.
Right.
You know? And it just, he cared so much. And over the 10, 11 years that he's had Oscar, we have exchanged emails. We've talked on the phone. And the cutest one was last year, because Brian still ran in competitions. And I had someone call me with this broken English, and I knew it was a translator, and I knew it was Brian on the other end,
right.
And he was running in a competition in Indianapolis, and he thought I could just get in the car, and it was just right up the road, and could I come visit him? Oh, and I was like, I would have loved to do that so much, but my connection with Oscar will always be there. He is mine now. Did you recently say something about your cat that you knew something was going on with your cat?
Right. That was, a few years ago, my last cat. And I just sensed something wasn't right. And it turned out that he was diagnosed with acute lymphocytic leukemia, I believe it was.
Aww.
And it was really fast. It was just, I could sense it ahead of time. You know, there's this notion that something just wasn't right. And like cats have for us,
mm-hmm.
I was kind of able to sense that there was something going on with him.
Was it his behavior patterns? Was it?
He changed his behavior completely. He started acting a little more down. He would normally come up and greet me when I'd come home from work. And he had completely stopped that.
Aww.
So it was, you know, his little signs like that, plus, you know, just the way he acted, mm-hmm. is you could just sense that there was something going on.
Aww. So. Well, I'm sorry. Now, you must have told me this already, but do you still have that cat?
No, he did pass from it, but.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But it was, as the saying goes, as one life leaves, another life comes in. And the day that my old cat passed, my current cat was born.
Really?
And I got him prematurely. I actually got him about 4 weeks after the fact.
Now, this might be true for a lot of people because you bring up a really good point, and that's about getting another pet after one passes away.
Right.
Did you immediately bond with that cat, or did it take a while?
It was pretty quick. He was, of course, you know, just a little kitten. So, I mean, he was ready to bounce all over the place. But it was still kind of hard in the family because, you know, we had just lost one and moving on to another one so fast.
Mm-hmm.
But he just instantly fell right into the pattern. You know, I tried to follow all the steps, keep him locked up for a few days. No, that was not happening. Mm-hmm. I opened the door. He was downstairs. He was integrating. He was sleeping on my lap that night.
I think that's what's so great about pets in general is the sense of love and play that they give us. And even on days like today, I'm going to be honest, people, I'm a little energetically low today. The way they come up to you is sort of like, oh, I'll help you. I'm going to jump on your head. Let's play. Let's do something fun. So we know that dogs are notorious for destroying things.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister's lab, Black Lab, has destroyed, I think the count is up to 22 channel changers.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, just... And it no rhyme or reason, just today I'm going to grab a channel changer and I'm going to destroy it. Other times we'll leave the channel changer there. And I'm sure when we have Jocelyn back on, I'm going to ask her all about this again. So you'll get some insight into that. But what do cats destroy?
It depends on their age, I would say. But Gideon, within the first couple of weeks, I noticed there's a couple pair of my socks that were missing. And this is so funny because dogs are notorious for this. Gideon would take my socks that were neatly folded up.
Sure.
And he would bat them around to the point where they were gone. And then I would find a piece of string randomly throughout the house. And about 2-3 weeks later, I found under my bed like 2 or 3 pairs of socks, and 2 of them had holes in them. They were brand new socks, mind you. So
of course they were. They couldn't have been the old ones, right?
Exactly. So they were all torn to shreds. The next week he got a hold of one of his toys and shredded his toy just to bits. It was gone. I mean, brand new toy, and he luckily still has some, but mainly his toys and socks. Now,
I thought cats just played with their toys and didn't destroy it. I thought that was a dog thing to rip apart a toy.
Usually, yeah, right.
But not in Gideon's case. He's Gideon. Look what I can do. Right. Check me out.
Hey, Dad, you bought a new toy. Thanks. Great.
I'm half dog. We timed my sister's lab one time because she loves basketballs.
Mm-hmm.
Loves basketballs. And so for a while, you know, we'd buy her basketball to play with. It wasn't that fun, you know, until she started destroying them and took it upon herself to see how long it would take her to destroy puncture a basketball.
No.
And I think one time we clocked her at like 15 seconds. That's all it took to puncture a basketball.
Jeez.
And so when they say those toys are lab tested, meaning Labrador Retriever tested,
right.
Yeah, right. No, not on this lab, because this lab will chew anything. And when I had Oscar and he was littler at that bad puppy stage, mm-hmm. he got up underneath, because my mattress is on a, you know, a little higher up, and he got up under the bed and actually got a hold of the bottom. He picked at something and ripped the whole bottom half of something that was on the bottom of my mattress.
Oh, gee.
And I have sort of a bigger bed, and I couldn't get under there and reach him with my arms. So I'm there taking a broom, and I'm trying to sweep him out from under the bed. And, of course, half of whatever he had in his mouth is going
right,
as I'm pulling him out. And yet at the same time, during all of this, we can still just sit there and go, you're the cutest thing ever.
Right. Yep.
It doesn't take, or we, you know, the famous saying, you're lucky you're cute.
Yeah, exactly. So true.
Have you seen the show My Cat from Hell?
I have.
is that TLC or Bravo? I don't know which one's that on, but if you've never seen this, it's called My Cat from Hell, and yep. this guy who is a tattooed, pierced beard, you, looks like motorcycle thug guy, you will not believe his communication with cats.
Oh, he is simply amazing. I mean, he takes cats that are, they seem like you can't deal with them at all. They're just completely misbehaved, and he takes them and completely flips them around to where they're now, you know, your best friend.
It reminds me a little bit of the Dog Whisperer.
Yeah,
right?
Very much.
Yes. Cesar Millan.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Where at the end of the day, it always comes back to the owners.
Right.
You know, it's not really about the animal. Like, I think one time it's about, you know, integration. When you have a pet and you're bringing a new pet into the home.
Right.
And you can't just toss in a brand new pet and expect everybody to play nice.
Exactly. Yeah, they sense that. And if there's even one thing they don't like about the other animal, they will act out.
Oh,
until
yeah.
that situation is taken care of.
Yeah, or they will exploit the weakness of the other animal.
Exactly.
Like, yep. if that animal is intimidated easily, then they will go with that.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. And again, when we have Jocelyn back on, we're going to ask her about that too. Integrating and about dominance and all that kind of stuff. Now, she is also an intuitive. So she's a dog right. psychic. And I have heard, I want to ask her the difference between like a dog psychic and an animal communicator. Because
right.
there are different ways of communicating with pets. And we know, I mean, someone says, oh, I'd have no idea what my dog or my cat is saying. Because sometimes when they look at you or they make a noise, it's, I'm hungry. I'm tired. You're in my spot on the couch. Get off.
Yep.
I got to go outside. Play with me. Or stupid human. Right?
The last one I get from Gideon most of the time. That's this morning before I got ready to leave. He just looked at me like, you're leaving again. Great. Thanks.
Yeah. Stupid human.
Yeah, exactly.
They become our family members. They become our therapists. There is nothing better than, you know, when you are totally losing it and crying or down, and then here comes your pet, whether they be a cat or a dog or whatever, and they snuggle up next to you, kind of like, don't cry, it's okay. Yeah. And they know the difference of when it's time to you know, be crazy play and, my human, my mommy or my daddy's not feeling well.
Exactly. Yeah, they know exactly when you are feeling down, or if you're feeling great. Like this morning, you know, I was kind of in the middle, and Gideon was just, his goal was to get me into a better mood. Me into a better mood. He was bouncing all over the place, and, you know, he has this weird thing probably most cats don't like to do. He will jump onto the counter and try to beg for a drink of water. And that was his goal this morning, was to cheer me up, obviously, by me giving him a drink of water.
Now, if we were to bring him here in this studio, what would happen?
He would probably freak out.
What?
It is.
There's a nice counter here by a window. He wouldn't curl up and lie right here.
He might. He might sit here and look out the window, but he's really timid to new environments. Whenever I would take him to the vet, he
That is not fair.
That's
the vet
different.
Where sharp objects and things poke and prod. So
yeah, that is true.
I, on the other hand, even though I am a dog lover, would welcome Gideon into the studio and be very kind to him.
Right.
So only thing I would worry about is all the electronics and cords we have
right.
here.
Luckily, so far, my home studio has not taken a hit.
Because I would think that's prime chewing.
Yeah.
Right there.
I trained him from the very beginning because that's always been important because I do have a home studio. And none of my cats have been allowed to be anywhere near that. Trust me, he did try. I've got a couple of very expensive microphones and sets of headphones, and there was no way. So I use a sour apple spray and just stern talking. So.
Well, when we do talk again to Jocelyn Kessler, I'm also going to ask her about why pets pick certain objects to chew.
Right.
Because I always found that fascinating of what they pick to chew and what the message is about that. Because I think it's pretty clear my sister's dog picking the channel changer, that's shut off the TV and pay attention to me.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just give me more attention.
Give me. Yeah. And, and he'll do, she'll do, excuse me, the same thing when I call and I'm on the phone with her. And then it's suddenly, I'm going to grab a sock from the other room and run right in front of you so you see me. Get off the phone.
Right.
Pay attention to me.
Yep.
Stupid human. All those things going on at once. Well, we do have a tradition here on Real Life with Lisa Jesswine, and Chris is going, oh, no. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Yes, yes, yes. This is called the RL3. It's the Real Life 3 questions at the very end. And it's a way to get to know people a little bit better. And I'm going to answer these questions along with you since we're sort of both the guests today.
Right.
Okay? And then we always end with the fantasy name. Now, I think we did discover both of our fantasy names before, but we'll throw them at you again when, when we get to that. Okay. Here is your first question. And I'm going to pick a different one here. Who do you trust?
Probably the best person would be my mother.
Nice.
She's always been there, and you know, she's always kind of been the one to be able to lean on.
Do you have an I Love Mom tattoo?
I do not.
Dang, you should. That's so good. And I would say, who do I trust most? My identical twin sister, Michelle.
Okay.
I mean, after all, she did give me her kidney and save my life and all that good stuff. Yeah. I trust.
Yes.
I'm trusted in that, so that'll be good. Okay, here's what makes you cry every time.
The movie Contact.
Going back old school there,
right.
Buddy.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. There's something about it, and it's not because it's a sad movie, because it really isn't. It's just the power of, I don't know, the universe.
Wow.
It always hits me hard.
That's wow. Okay. I would say Homecomings. Whenever they show the military homecomings and the families are meeting, or you know, you'll get the mom or dad who's been overseas sneaking into the kid's classroom and the kid doesn't know, and then just gets me every single time. That does make me cry. That and the song "Live Like You Were Dying."
Right. Okay.
Seriously.
Yeah,
how many seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu? I think it's 3.7 seconds. I don't know, something like that. But that song makes me cry every time. So those are the things. So I'm so glad you all know what makes us cry, but you also know who we trust now. So we finish off with our fantasy name, which is your first name's pet and the street you grew up on. We will save yours because I think I really like yours. Mine, my fantasy name is Ginger Thomas. Hi, I'm Ginger Thomas. Hi, how are you? I'm Ginger Thomas. My fantasy name, I don't think it's very special. I feel like it's maybe from back in the 1970s. I should be Ginger Thomas in the 1970s. So what about your fantasy name?
Mine is actually pretty interesting. It's Peppy Pinehurst.
Well, Peppy Pinehurst,
right.
It is... You sound like a character that should be on, you know, Pee-wee's Playhouse or something.
Right, I was thinking Looney Tunes when I was thinking about
so
it.
So on behalf of Peppy Pinehurst and Ginger Thomas, we thank you so much for being here today. Real Life with Ginger Thomas. And check back with us next Thursday at noon. You never know what's going to happen, but I promise you we will always be on our toes and try and make it a fun experience for you. Thanks so much for listening.